92 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app. Earl
CBS Ingram. News Brief. Clearly. Correspondent Willie James Inman has the latest on an Israeli attack in a hospital in Gaza.
The Hamas-run health ministry blames Israel. Israel blames militants, but added Hamas is using the hospital as cover, its main command center underneath. Hamas says the Palestinian death toll now exceeds 11,000.
Threats made to Muslim students at the University of Connecticut. Here's WFSB-TV's Dylan Fearon.
Students reported the vile messages to UConn police and the FBI. UConn tells us the call originated from an Oklahoma-based number. There's no indication of any connection to UConn.
In Texas, private companies can no longer require workers to get COVID vaccinations. Governor Greg Abbott says it's all about
the freedom of all Texans to make their own decisions about what health care they want to access and what health care they want to reject.
Violators can be fined $50,000. CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers sounds like he'll sign a bill to let local election clerks start counting absentee ballots the day before Election Day. That's one of several bills on voting the Assembly sent to his desk yesterday. Another bill would enact new rules for indefinitely confined voters. The Assembly also passed a number of proposed constitutional amendments. One would ban local governments from using private money to run elections. A man from Toma is going to federal prison for pretending to be a disabled veteran. A judge sentenced Jonathan Walker to up to 15 months yesterday. Walker never even served in the military, but since he claimed to be a disabled veteran, he won Defense Department contracts for his heating and air conditioning business. That includes a pair of contracts at Fort McCoy worth $2 million. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. A Dunn County judge has decided a new trial will not be granted for a woman convicted of killing her ex-boyfriend. Ezra McCandless was convicted of stabbing and killing her ex-boyfriend, Alex Woodworth, in 2018. She asked for a new trial in December, claiming the jury never heard the full story, arguing evidence that she suffered from a history of sexual abuse was kept from the jury that convicted her. Judge James Peterson referred to the new trial as a monumental waste of resources. Wisconsin residents who want to show their appreciation for veterans can now do so with their license plate. The Wisconsin Department of Motor Vehicles is offering license plates that say Salute Veterans on them for an extra $15 issuance fee. The proceeds from the additional $15 fee is then sent to the Department of Veterans Affairs to help provide needed support for veterans. And for an additional $15 fee, Wisconsin drivers can also get personalized veteran license plates. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
Matt Flynn Direct.
When it comes to shutting down the government, what I'm afraid is Mike Johnson comes in, he'll say, real smooth, I don't want to shut down the government. Here's a budget. And you'll go, hey, wait a minute. That has cuts in child care, Social Security. And he'll smile. He's sort of like Scott Walker. People who are unnervingly polite behind that kind of facade, they have a lot of inner weasels. They have too many inner weasels, quite frankly.
Matt Flynn Direct. Weekdays from 2 until 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The Packers head to the Steel City. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The 3-5 Packers face the 5-3 Steelers on Sunday. The last time Green Bay won a game in Pittsburgh was in 1970 when Bart Starr was still the quarterback. Meanwhile, Jordan Love has faced defensive stars like the Raiders' Max Crosby, the Rams' Aaron Donald, and this week, linebacker T.J. Watt.
Yeah, I mean, that's the NFL. You know, I think every team has some good pass rushers, and everybody's pretty good.
College hoops, the Wisconsin Badgers with a big game at the Kohler Center. They host the number 9th ranked Tennessee Volunteers. This will be the first time the Badgers have hosted a top 10 team in November. NBA, despite Giannis scoring 54 points, the Bucks lost on the road to the Pacers, 126-124. Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin ejected from the game.
We just had a difference of opinions. You know, I voiced my opinion, and next time I'll do it in a little bit more delicate way.
That's the Bucks' Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
93.5. The Tap. This is 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap. 93.5. The Tap.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low near 30. More clouds around for tomorrow, the wind picking up, a slight chance of an afternoon and evening shower. High mid-40s. Little more sun Sunday, warms up, mid-50s and breezy. Weekend wind gusts could top 30 miles an hour. It's 39 right now.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5, The Tap.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Thank God it's Friday. Dom coming in hot.
Hey, Crudy, happy Friday to you.
Buddy, both traveling to arrive here at the WAUK studios. Thank you to Anya and our buddy Nate for accommodating. You know, it takes a village to raise this little show.
Yes, it does.
Dom, field tripping today.
Yeah, man, doing the hard work, Crudy.
Hard?
Showing up. That's hard sometimes.
I did show up.
Yes. Got to show up. Before anything happens, you got to show up.
If you don't show up,
yeah,
you don't get to see the news being made. And I hate to say it, but I'd like to acknowledge it. I did not force these two fine Republican standard bearers from the great state of Wisconsin. They were U.S. Senator Ron Johnson and also Brian Steil. But it wasn't just them. It was men. I didn't see any women. The men of law enforcement. The sheriff of Walworth County. The undersheriff of Walworth County. The sheriff of Racine County.
Oh, that guy. He's a constitutional sheriff guy.
He was there. He was on the panel. And I think another adjacent county. Oh, no. Chief of police, Whitewater. And the topic... illegal immigration, the crime, the rampant crime. And at one point, I got to point out this fine young journalist, she said, now these visual aids you guys have behind you, what do they represent? And it was U.S. Senator Ron Johnson and Brian Steil, first time I'd ever met him. And they turned to the men, because there were no women, but the men in law enforcement, the Whitewater chief of police said, I don't know precisely, because it was like a scale. It was like Scott Walker doing a Venn diagram.
Terrible. It was a bad.
The graph being utilized didn't have any metrics on it. Just more than there used to be. But what were the metrics? Like steel underwear
and profit. What's step two?
They were very sketch, at least to the public. They had a round table at 12:45 behind closed doors, Tom. I, a fine journalist, was not allowed. Maybe there was a woman of law enforcement behind closed doors, Tom,
But not where we were. Not in the room in Whitewater at the municipal building.
So there was no legend to describe what you were seeing, what the comparisons were on the X and the Y axis.
No, none of that. And the other one was just a picture of a shed. Sort of a little shanty shed. And it's like, well, the guy said, well, that's a representation of our housing crisis. And I'm not trying to diminish the importance of these issues, certainly to the locals. This is a big deal. And they're dealing with the issues. And I'll describe them with less of a smirk on my face in just a minute.
I don't know if I believe you.
It was the shed quality. It was like a hunting shed, right? And some immigrant Latino family had taken up residence. I think that was the implication here. And it was like a father, a mother and a child living in a 10 by 10 shed. And I'm thinking, I know guys that live in worse accommodations than that, at least during deer hunting. That's coming up soon.
Right.
Was it plumbed? Was it heated? Probably not. I have lived in the rural South, though, and I'm telling you, people live in worse. But I wasn't sure why it needed to be there as a visual aid. And there was sort of this open borders conversation. And, you know, when you're a room full of law enforcement and two Republican, you know, big shots, federal electeds.
And all white dudes?
Yes.
Okay.
Couple of crew cuts. You know how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. All your stereotypes, they're all true in this.
Check
case.
Those boxes.
Yes, they're the law enforcement. And I'm not diminishing this, but I wasn't clear because when they came out from behind the closed doors, the only thing I heard was it costs more for interpreters. Like I'm giving you an honest takeaway. They're spending more money on interpreters. And apparently there are linguistical differences in the Spanish language as it's spoken.
Sure.
And their Mexican interpreters are no longer able to keep up with some of these Spanish language needs. And they're
some from Guatemala and a different part of that country Guatemala, versus more, Honduras more like or
South America.
Oh, South America. Okay,
Venezuela,
gotcha.
I think was mentioned. The greatest concern, the drug trade. And they mentioned cocaine and fentanyl. Those were the two drugs. And the only standard I heard, the only metrics that were actually presented that I could tell, $250,000 from the Whitewater community over 4 months, that was the time metric, had been sent back to the cartel, one must assume, through retail trade, illicit trade, black market trade of these drugs, and the money being funneled back, according to the cops, local chief, etc. And I'm like, so that's like 60 grand a month, community of 14,000. So, you know, they've got a drug problem, just like everywhere else in America. And no one there in that panel, Tom, would plausibly consider ever legalization or something other than, you know, making even weed legal. They mentioned it. The cop's like, you know, our biggest problem used to be weed. It's like, now we got fentanyl and cocaine and stuff. And I'm thinking in my mind, Dom, you know, being the man that I am, it is literally 27 miles to a dispensary at exit number one in Illinois. The weed's legal 27 minutes away. And you're experiencing this tremendous drug trade, which you attribute to the cartels, but you're telling me the immigrants are coming from South America and you're having linguistical troubles. And therefore, you've blown your local municipal budgets. And these are real needs, man.
Yes, sure, sure.
These are real things. I believe all that. But that was it. That was, and it was Ron and it was Brian Style. My first meeting with young Brian Style. Sharp-dressed man. Handsome young guy. If you were to go to Central Casting and say, get me a congressman, Brian Style would be one of the actors presented.
What? What am I, chop liver over yep. here? Come on.
Oh,
really?
Way too short. Oh, relative to this
on.
Guy?
Come you know, on.
He's a strapping 6'3", 6'4".
Let's not forget the Racine County Sheriff, Schmalling, I believe his name, He is one of those constitutional type sheriffs who believes that, you know, basically they
let's
have
to make sure it's the same guy, blue uniform, kind of round, wearing a badge. That guy.
And when weed became legal in the state of Illinois, he was out there in the forefront saying, hey, you know, don't be bringing that through my county. We'll be pulling you over. Like very, very, very anti-weedy, this guy.
Yes.
Yes. So
many of the police.
So yeah. So no consideration of the legalization of it and treating perhaps addiction as it is a health issue, not a criminal issue. People do things in certain states.
None of that was discussed.
None of it was discussed.
Everything came through the prison.
And of course, the tax revenue that could be derived from legalization could help offset some of those the money that they're spending on, you know, interpreters.
None of that was discussed.
No. Okay.
It was the scourge of illegal immigration that brought the drugs. And why Whitewater? Apparently they had adequate housing and jobs. So with
and college towns, you know, I'm from personal experience, I've come to discover that, you know, college towns are places where you can get drugs. You know, there's a lot of young people and maybe some extra money from funding for the schools, from the grants and whatnot. And, you know, you go out and you get a little bit. There's a market there, let's call it, perhaps.
Hey, I don't want you walking down memory lane here, Dom.
I'm just saying.
Entrepreneurial spirit that you were.
It's just.
I know you're just saying.
I'm just saying it's not new. You know what I mean?
No, that was back when they just had a problem with the weed.
Yeah, that nasty brick weed.
Well, and there is legitimately a problem with this fentanyl, with the cocaine and sure. the different things. So looking for answers, right? And looking obviously to make a little news if we can. and you know, I had one question in the back of my mind. Hey, Senator, you appeared recently on the Foxy News with the Maria Bartiromo. Cause you know, I hear Brian Stelle continue. Oh, we don't know who they are. These people coming in, we don't know who they are. And I'm like, remember those really important people doing the conspiracies, Ron? Who are the people, or whom?
Yes.
Who are the conspirators? Any of them?
Being orchestrated by the elites, by a very few group of elite, a few members of the elites.
But many of the panelists were armed. I chose not to go that
route. Okay. Oh, so we didn't go there. Okay.
But Jim, the cameraman from WISC3, who happens to be a friend of the Devil's Advocates.
Hey, Jim.
Why? Because he listens to us, Dom, and he likes us. He's told me, I'm a fan. So we were having a little small talk before the electeds came in. And Jim really started framing it up. At one point, I'll bring you a little sound I had with Congressman Stout. First time I ever asked him a question. And he had talked about sort of framing this immigration through the funding of Ukraine. Like, we're going to tie these things together.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
But Style didn't say that directly. It was just alluded to. But Jim picked up on it. Jim being a fine journalist. Probably the best one in the room, sadly.
Including
like,
you.
Like, he's a seasoned guy.
Yeah,
he's
for been sure. Been around a long time.
Many, many press conferences.
Yes.
And Jim, you know, Jim kind of cracked on him. Like, framed it in a total, like, are you telling me that your wants and needs to build a wall is more important than funding what, a wall trying to hold back the aggression of Russia and Putin and Ukraine? And when we come back, I'll tell you what news was made. But Jim was the journalist. And Jim gave the old, tell me the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Keep at him, Jim.
And eventually, Ron admitted to the code red. We're the Devil's Advocates. Aaron Grievance is Crudy. Ill-prepared because I was doing a field trip.
93.5 The Tap.
Up US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different.
You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
The Devil's Advocates know how to kick ass and chew bubblegum, and we're all out of bubblegum.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Happy Friday to us all. We're airing the grievances, as our custom, on Fridays. You can join us 844-967-2789.
So, Jim, the camera guy over at Channel 3, he was the guy that got U.S. Senator Ron Johnson to admit on the record what Brian Stile would only allude to. You know, say in this breath and then say something else in this breath. But, you know, is what you're saying, Jim. I'm paraphrasing, Jim. Actually, we've got a little of this sound. And playing this off my little handheld, so it might not be perfect, but work with us. If you've got this one, Nate, I'm going to pull up the WISC cameraman, Jim, question and response. Because Jim continued to push, and I think we'll probably hear from Jim once, but Jim asked the question like three times. Like, he really started hammering him.
Like Stephanopoulos, man.
And I'm thinking, yeah, go, Jim. You go play. And I'll tell one little secret, Tom. I was trying to play kind of nice because I'd never met the congressman, Brian Stile, and I'd never met his staffer, Siobhan, I think her name, a lovely young lady. And I would like them to be responsive the next time I email them, because I pointed out the last time I emailed, you guys didn't respond. The last time I invited the congressman on for a little exclusive, because we play on WRJN, that's in the first.
That's right in the backyard, baby.
We got the big beast of the East, WAUK. We're in the studios right now. You can hear us in the district, sir. Well, Siobhan, I'm speaking. The royal sir in this case.
Of course, and very polite and very crude with the dimples, I'm sure.
Let's talk about Jim. Jim, oh, by the way, Siobhan said, I've only been there a month and a half. I'm like, well, they probably blew me off longer ago than that. So we're fresh start.
Yes.
Turning the page.
Absolutely. Here we go.
And we'll see how it goes, because I had a few questions.
We'll see.
And we'll get the Crudy's questions, but let's start with Jim's question. Cameraman from Channel 3, friend of the Devils, asking Senator Ron Johnson, second or third time, putting him on the record on the code red. Hell yes, they're going to tie this immigration bill to funding for Ukraine. Tell them about it. Listen close for Jim.
I think it's more important to secure our border and protect America first.
And America is threatened by communist aggression in Ukraine.
We have to secure our border and protect America and Americans first. And the Democrats are not willing to do it. This is unfortunate. You know, three votes, two in committee, one on the floor of the Senate. I offer the amendment, and all I ask is just complete the fence we already bought and paid for. It cost us more not to build that fence than to complete it. Democrats, except for Joe Manchin, voted against that amendment, so we never completed that fence. So obviously, President Biden, Democrats do not want a secure border. We have to force their hand. And their desire for funding the war in Ukraine is the only leverage point we have. And yes, we will use that, because I'll repeat, it's important for us to secure our border and protect Americans and protect our homeland.
And I think Jim might have hammered him into even a tighter soundbite later, but you get the gist. Man just made some news. Our plan, our Republican plan, our Senate plan, Brian Stale's making allusions, but he's telling you the truth. Yeah, hell yeah, I ordered the code red. I know he says something different, but, you know, radio.
They would tie this immigration border issue to the Ukraine war fund bill.
And Jim was very explicit. Jim, the cameraman from WISC, like his third shout out today, very explicit in saying, what about Putin? What about the Russian incursion into the Ukraine? You realize this is not some theoretical funding bill just for, you know, more toilet paper, let's say. This is what we're funding. We're trying to keep Putin and democracy alive, right?
I mean, you could tell. I mean, Senator Johnson was in Russia during the 4th of July a few years ago, so he probably doesn't see it as a big of a priority, perhaps, as some other folks do.
Well, I had never asked Brian Stile a question, and if there's time, there's time, Nate. Let's go to the Brian Stile. And I've posted the video of these questions and answers, a couple of them at least. I might throw a few more on later. Only so much you can take. But here's me, a two-parter for Brian Stile. I believe the question, how do you define securing the border?
Kristen, you had mentioned securing the border. What's that look like in your mind, sir?
By returning many of the policies of the previous administration, it's a return to Mexico policy. That
child
is
separation.
Actually finishing construction of the wall, in particular in key segments.
Build that wall.
It's increasing funding and hiring of law enforcement agents, in particular U.S. Customs and Border Protection. And I think the window for us to force this administration, which is an unwilling administration in the first place, I think our opportunity here is on the funding bills as we look out now to the end of the year.
Do you envision tying immigration to the current ongoing resolutions to try and continue to keep the government open? November 17th, I think, a deadline, sir.
I think it'll be part of the broader conversation. I think in particular, we have an opportunity as we look to funding for Ukraine to tie that with the border. I think that's
There's
our best opportunity to force the Biden administration to come to the table to actually secure the U.S.-Mexico border.
And I can't add that.
I did ask one more of the congressman. I asked him, let me think. I want to make sure I report accurately to you.
Yes, thank you, Michael. Take your time.
Because he did stutter in reply. Let me think about that one. Maybe I'll come back to it. I'll go to the source material. Make sure I'm accurately descripting why it is I made congressman stutter just a little bit. Oh, I believe it was, again, a follow-up question regarding the keeping the government open part.
Sure. No, he said he's not going to tie it to that. They're going to tie it to Ukraine.
Well, both he and the center, both he and Johnson, were very confident the government was going to stay open. There would be no shutdown.
Oh, really?
And I pointed out that the last two resolutions that were put forth weren't actually voted on, right?
They're
in
pulled.
In fact, they were pulled back due to, let's call them, poison pills.
Something about abortion, something about contraception, you know, very important things.
Well, things that are, so I said, you know, clean resolution? I think it went like that. I paraphrase slightly.
Yeah.
I can pull the tape. But I'm not sure if that's going to earn him an exclusive on the Devil's Advocate. You're going to have to tell the truth, sir. Now, the underlying issue. I noted I had watched some of the, not Republican presidential debate, but some of the focus grouping and what some of the people actually reacted to.
Coverage of it afterwards.
And it was surprising. When the Republicans came out strongly and talked about building a wall and locking down and creating border security, even the Democrats responded positively to those messages, that strong message that, I hate to say, it wasn't, well, it's probably nationalistic when they're doing it, but I think people do want to see safe and secure borders. And I think the fentanyl problem and the opioid problem is tremendous. And people are dying. And these are real problems. And now it's being blamed, you know, on the immigrant population in Walworth County in no small part. And I saw a graph, Dom. It looked really bad. This one was small. And then it was much bigger on this line.
Yeah.
And I thought, they stole a lot of underwear. Come back with us. We are the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We air the grievances. Yours always welcome here at 844-967-2789. Thank God it's Friday.
Tell a friend what's on tap. There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley. This is 93.5 The Tap. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. More layoffs at the universities of Wisconsin. This time, UW Parkside in Kenosha plans to cut almost 10% of its workforce over the next year. About 50 full-time jobs will be cut through a combination of voluntary separations, layoffs, and attrition. This after similar cuts at UW-Platteville at Oshkosh and, to a lesser extent, at Green Bay. Republican state lawmakers could make their next moves to impeach Wisconsin's embattled elections administrator as early as next week. That's what Representative David Steffen of Green Bay tells Channel 3 in Madison. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss referred an impeachment resolution to committee last week. That was right after a right-wing group launched a pressure campaign urging lawmakers to impeach Megan Wolf. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Two suspects have been arrested following a string of vehicle break-ins in Eau Claire County. According to the criminal complaint, an 18-year-old Demetrius Major and 17-year-old Kawan Robinson, both of Fort Lauderdale, Florida, were arrested and charged with a variety of crimes for the break-ins and the ensuing police pursuit. The complaint also alleges the pair began to throw some of the stolen items out of the vehicle while being pursued, such as driver's license and debit and credit cards. A $242 million upgrade project is in the works at Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport. The project was announced Thursday by the Metropolitan Airports Commission and Delta Airlines and is expected to be completed by late 2025. The plan would update designs for the concourses and about 75 Delta gates, as well as technology upgrades to improve flight and gate information screens. The MAC is investing $182.5 million in the project, and Delta will kick in the remaining $60 million. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org, brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The Packers head to the Steel City. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The 3-5 Packers face the 5-3 Steelers on Sunday. The last time Green Bay won a game in Pittsburgh was in 1970 when Bart Starr was still the quarterback. Meanwhile, George